Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis coming up from 9 to 11 right here on the Fan, so do not go anywhere. Right now, a good friend, Jacob Westendorf, Packaday Podcast, Packers on SI. You can find him appropriately at Jacob Westendorf on social media. Jacob, you are a wonderful human being. How are you doing today, my friend?
Doing well, Andy. We're in the doldrums of the summer. No.
I disagree with you, Jacob Westendorf. The doldrums start next week after minicamp. We actually had a practice yesterday. We've got more minicamp next week. The doldrums really start in a week after. You can't start it 2 weeks early on me, Jacob. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. And those dopamine hits from the practice tweeting and everything like that, somebody said it's like drugs. I don't even know a better way to explain it, but it's so addicting when there hasn't been. I mean, we haven't had football in, real football, if you will, in about 4 months. So that's a long time.
No, I agree. And it's funny when it comes to these practices, when you really put everything together. I know there's like training camp. There's usually like 17 practices at training camp. There's usually a handful more that are open to the media. You usually get three OTAs in mini camps. Like, we're talking about in a 365 day a year calendar, about 25 practices that are actually open that we get to have updates on and things like that happen. So I get yesterday's not pads. It's not contact. It's not anything like that. But we only get 25 of these about a year, darn it. So the in-season practices are completely worthless. All you can basically do is take attendance. There's nothing else going on. You might get a look at a couple different individual drills, but this is it. You get about 25 of these. So when you get them, whether they're padded or not, it's still worth noting. And I want to start there, Jacob, is just kind of what your key takeaways were from yesterday's OTAs.
The general smoothness of Matthew Golden, I think, is going to be the first and foremost. I think it's going to be first and foremost for a lot of stuff. But the idea that a rookie who's going to have enough unfair pressure on him, and that's no fault of his own, just a byproduct of where he was picked and how starved the fan base was for a receiver in the first round. I think some people expected to catch 150 passes for 1,500 yards and 16 touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen by any stretch, but he looks like he belongs. Romeo Doubs, who doesn't say much, called him a stud. Matt LaFleur can't stop saying good things about him. Jordan Love keeps finding ways to compliment him as well. I don't know what his role is going to be early in his career. I know that the Packers have a top gun need for speed on their offense with Christian Watson not in the lineup, so maybe he gets shoehorned in that way. But, I mean, if he's going to keep pushing like this, and again, like you mentioned earlier, it's June, there's no pads, stuff like that. But in a receiver room that's as competitive as it is, you have the day that Matthew Golden had yesterday, and then in a 7-on-7 three-quarter speed drill, Dontavian Wicks has another drop that leads to an interception. Those small things can eventually add up into bigger things and kind of determine, how you're on the field or not. And that's a competition that you hope breeds excellence, but it's also going to, every little mistake and things like that are going to be amplified even more. So Golden is the big takeaway, I think, early on, and then just the shuffling along, you know, the offensive line and how they're going to navigate some of these things with some of these guys and where they're going to end up playing.
Yeah, I'm excited, especially once Elton comes back, to see how that kind of competition and the shuffling takes place along that offensive line and what ultimate top five they end up with when the season starts, or if they do some rotating there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. As far as Matthew Golden, I think the noteworthy thing is if you go back to last year, there were six receivers that got playing time, including Bo Melton and Malik Heath, but there were a true top four. It was definitely Dobbs, Watson, Wicks, and Reed that were the four that got on the field the most and were out there pretty consistently. It basically just feels like Matthew Golden has taken, I'm not saying the exact spot of Christian Watson, I'm not saying they're doing the same things, but the snaps of Christian Watson, and everything else has kind of remained the same, that you still have Wicks, Reed, Dobbs, Golden now instead of Watson, and then your next group of players after that is more in that that next tier. So I think that is noteworthy, and just the fact that Matthew Golden has made that presence known in his first 2 days at OTAs, basically like, hey, everyone's on notice, he can get as many snaps as he wants because he's that talented. I absolutely think that's one of the huge takeaways from the first 2 weeks of OTAs.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, you know, what you mentioned, the other thing about him is just the football character and stuff. That stuff matters, and especially maybe even more so in Green Bay. But if you're going to acclimate yourself as a rookie, that hardworking, blue collar, you know, not to use all those cliches and everything, but that stuff where it's like you're eating up the playbook and you're learning all those things early on. Like you said, as far as talent, just pure talent goes, Golden has an argument as the most talented receiver on Green Bay's roster right now. So if you're going to be the most talented player and you're going to know the playbook inside and out from day one, I mean, I know I just said everything I said earlier, but why can't he be one of the primary starters? And we, you know, none of these guys that are in Green Bay's receiver room, for as much as I do like the room that they have, none of them are established guys that saying, yep, we have to make sure that guy has earned an opportunity to play every single snap of every single game. Like they just don't have a guy like that, you know, not to go back to the number one receiver thing, but they don't have Devontae Adams, you know, somebody like right. That's not on the team. Nobody's been consistent enough to prove their way to be on the field 70, 80, 90% of snaps like that. So why can't Matthew Golden be somebody like that?
And here's the thing. Every one of those other receivers had the opportunity to be that guy last year. They were basically begging somebody to step up and be that guy, and nobody really did. So, yeah, Matthew Golden's going to have that opportunity. And, again, we're not predicting anything that's going to happen just based off of any unpadded practices here in May and June. But first impressions are important, and he has been fantastic so far through these first two OTAs. As you're just kind of getting all the updates, again, we're being joined by Jacob Westendorf, Packaday Podcast, Packers on SI. Was there anything that kind of caught you by surprise, any rotation, any starter, any play, anything that you're just like, huh, well, that's interesting?
One, the first one being that Jordan Morgan was taking any snaps at right guard, just because I thought that the whole thing was going to be that he was just going to be, it was him and Rashid at right or at left tackle, and that was just going to be the competition. And they quote unquote know that Morgan can play right guard. And I know he was lining up there with the ones. That's really the bigger surprise than anything else, is that he was doing that with the starting unit. I do think he could still end up there. Having Jordan Morgan as your quote-unquote consolation prize to play right guard isn't a bad thing. I thought coming out of the draft he would have been a pretty good guard. But it was still surprising considering that they've said all offseason, he's a tackle, he's a tackle, he's a tackle. He's going to play left tackle, or he's going to be in competition to play left tackle. I'm just interested to see how that shakes out. Does that rotation and the potential of that hurt his chances of winning the left tackle job? Because I think, and I don't have any proof of this, obviously, but if you gave some truth serum to LaFleur and Gutekunst, probably specifically more so Gutekunst with the business side of things, and they asked, hey, who do you want to win the left tackle job? I think they would tell you Jordan Morgan.
For sure.
Because then you have 3-4 years of cheap, quote-unquote, left tackle play. Between that and then I thought for sure that John Eric Sullivan and Goody and all those guys were lying when they said Anthony Belton was a tackle. So the fact that he's lined up on both sides of the line of scrimmage, I think, has been pretty surprising and something that could be an interesting development. If you can get somebody that big who's able to play that position, the more guys you've seen it, the more guys you have that can play tackle, especially in this league, the better. Green Bay has been flush with talent at that position over the years. There was a year where, you know, they have Bakhtiari and Tom and all those. I think they ended up having four guys that I think you legitimately argue could start for a lot of teams around the league. And that's, I mean, that's something that's just not very common around the league. The other one was Kamal Haddon playing on the outside at cornerback. So Now, we don't know a whole lot about these guys. Obviously, Haddon and Kalen King were mostly relegated to practice squad duty a year ago. We don't know still somehow what's going on with Jair Alexander here as we get into mid-June. But, I mean, that's a guy who they're a roll ankle away from being in the lineup. So finding out some things. The Packers didn't add any cornerbacks of substance outside of Nate Hobbs, and Hobbs just kind of replaces, not one for one, obviously, but on the depth chart with Eric Stokes. So they didn't add anybody else off of that. You know, Michael Robinson's obviously not a lock to make the team. So finding him is finding some stuff like that. Keyshawn Nixon, very complimentary of him yesterday. And Nixon's a guy who, say what you will about his play and everything like that, but he's become one of those guys that's a voice in the locker room for that team, yep. One of the spokesmen of that defense. So for him to say something like that, I think that carries some weight.
So, Jacob, one of the things you mentioned there was the Anthony Bell. And first of all, I agree with you about the Haddon thing, and definitely a name to keep an eye on for Packer fans. But you brought up Anthony Belton, that right tackle. You ready for a slight hot take here, Jacob?
Hit me.
All right. I'm not. This is still like in the initial phases of like just kind of thinking out. So I'm not making any sweeping conclusions on anything yet. It's just one I'm trying out a little bit. There was, if you remember, there was a comment, I think it was maybe from Stenovich, when Anthony Belton came in and stuff, and he made some sort of comments of that there's competition at left tackle and right tackle. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I do not believe that that's the case. I do not believe that Zach Tom is in any risk of losing his position. He's going to be the starting right tackle. That is not my hot take. There is a piece of me. We saw this offensive line in this offseason, their two biggest additions, of course, and literally biggest additions, were Anthony Belton and Aaron Banks, two very large human beings along that offensive line. There was a little feeling of like, hey, we're kind of rechanging our identity here. Zach Tom's a free agent in the offseason. I know you know this, Jacob, but outside of two undrafted free agents that they signed, he is the lightest and probably, like you could argue, kind of like least powerful like offensive lineman, at least amongst their starters, or at least, you know, kind of that's getting a lot of playing time. I'm not entirely convinced that maybe Green Bay wants to spend 28, whatever it ends up, you know, million, whatever it ends up being next year on a right tackle that maybe, just maybe, doesn't quite fit that new identity quite as well. If I am betting today, Jacob, I am betting very much so that Zach Tom is back. It's just something I'm monitoring a little bit of, like, if Belton does stay at right tackle, if they do decide that that is kind of his position, is there a world in which next year they decide that, hey, Sean Ryan at like $12 million kind of sounds better than Zach Tom at $28 million? And do you have a lineup that looks a little bit more like Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Banks at left guard, Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Anthony Belton at right tackle, a much bigger, more physical offensive line that maybe has that new identity? Not predicting it, not necessarily saying that that's going to be the case, but a little bit of a hot take that I'm working on, Jacob.
Yeah, I think almost anything is on the table with Zach Tom too, because I also think it's possible that, you know, if Rashid Walker is a one-year stopgap, and say the Morgan thing doesn't work out at left tackle, do they do the Brian Bulaga thing with Zach Tom, and after the season say, okay, we just paid you, you know, like I said, $28 million. Now you're going to protect our quarterback's blind side, and we're going to have Belton or somebody else,
sure,
move over and play right tackle. I think that's certainly a possibility. The other thing with Tom that's always been interesting to me, you said Stenovich said there's competition at right tackle. He may have just been giving lip service.
I think so, too.
Every year there's always been something about him not playing that position, right? Like last year, I think it was, where they had the Rob Domofsky comp where there's people inside saying he could be an all-pro guard and a Hall of Fame center. Like, those aren't words that are just tossed out there willy-nilly. It's not like me saying that, you know, the 12th guy off the bench can be a Pro Bowl kind of player. That's completely right. Different, right? So I don't know if they're entirely convinced that they want, quote-unquote, someone like Zach Tom to play right tackle. The other thing, though, like you mentioned, though, is Matt LaFleur said he's established himself there. He said he feels like he could play any position. I do feel like Green Bay values that level of versatility. I do wonder, maybe not quite the same because he is smaller, like you mentioned, but do they see him in a similar mold to what they saw with Elton Jenkins when they gave, sure, him that second contract? And when they gave Jenkins that contract, it was he could play guard, he could play both tackle positions, he can play center. Like, they liked him at all five positions. So I would be surprised. I would say I wouldn't be, you know, completely. It's not like when they, out of nowhere, seemingly at least cut Josh Sitton or something like that, where it felt like that was out of left field. I wouldn't be completely surprised if they, like you said, if that was their way of trying to kind of money ball this thing and say, like you said, yeah, we saved $16 million by not signing Zach Tom, bringing back Sean Ryan, and then kind of running with that off of the line. And that also allows you potentially to keep Elton Jenkins at an exploding cap number. Or, you know, the other thing is he's not at OTAs. You mentioned that, and it is, according to Jason Wilde, a contract-related reason for that. So, you know, does Jenkins see the writing on the wall that maybe he's not going to be back next year if that contract doesn't get adjusted? What's the situation there? There's a lot of moving parts on that offensive line.
And there's always moving parts in the Packers offensive line, that's for sure. And that's just even more so this year. And yeah, the Jenkins thing certainly in the back of everyone's mind as well as we get closer to mandatory mini camps next week. Okay, I'm being joined by Jacob Westendorf. You can find him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. Of course, the Packaday podcast and Packers on SI as well. Hi, Jacob. I want to pick your brain on a couple Michigan guys. I know you're a big Michigan fan, and anytime we have somebody on that, I know you get to talk Packers football all the time, but maybe you don't get to talk Michigan football quite as much. I'm not going to give you the floor to talk about Michigan football in general, but I am going to relate it to the Packers as best I can here. I want to start with a receiver that probably nobody really knows all that much about. That is Cornelius Johnson, former Michigan wide receiver. What do you know about him from his time at Michigan?
Yeah, big game player. Had a lot of big catches in the national championship game against Washington. Killed Ohio State in Columbus in 2022. So that part was kind of cool. From an athleticism standpoint, he hits all those measurables that everyone loves that Green Bay had and stuff like that. Something else was he blocked a couple of punts when he was in college. And I wondered, was that maybe something where if Green Bay needs a practice squad call-up or something like that, could they use him on specials? If you get to the point where, say, Malik Heath and Bo Melton are all dinged up and you need some help on special teams, is he a guy who could get a practice squad call-up or something to that effect? I think that that's kind of where his role in the NFL could be, a possession receiver. You know, he doesn't offer a whole lot of – I know his athleticism, stuff like that, certainly plays, but special traits down the field, anything like that. If he had those, he probably would have been a much higher draft choice than what he ended up being. And mind you, the guy who did draft him was his college coach, and they cut him not too long after that. So, you know, and that's not to say his career is done and over with or anything like that, but I do think it's, you know, there's a million guys in the NFL that are like him. I just think that the special teams value that he potentially brings makes him a valuable commodity on the practice squad, just because everybody wants to, you know, get the big dazzling receiver that can make, you know, 100 catches and make plays down the field and everything like that. Cornelius Johnson probably not going to be able to do that. The other thing is, if he did have to play in the game in a pinch, we know how much Matt LaFleur and the offense values run blocking. Well, he got plenty of practice with that, playing with Harbaugh and Greg Roman and all the offensive coordinators they had through his time in Ann Arbor. So he's able to do that. He's able to play some specials. You know, from the receiver side of things, he's very firmly behind Malik Heath and whoever you think that, you know, seventh, eighth guy on the depth chart is, and I can't imagine him surpassing those guys.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And then we also have a Michigan player that's taking over at quarterback in the NFC North, J.J. McCarthy, going to be the starter in Minnesota. What are your expectations for him, and just how worried should we be as a Packers fan base that they have a potential really good number one QB?
Yeah, I love him. I'd name my next son after him if I could have children or something like that. No, I'm kidding. Only kind of. But, you know, it was tough when he got drafted by Minnesota because I wanted him to go somewhere where I could reasonably root for his success. And I can't do that if he's in Minnesota because I don't right. want him to win anything ever. But from a intangibles and moxie and all that sort of stuff, J.J. McCarthy, and this is by all accounts, I actually am friends with somebody who used to play 7-on-7 with him, and he says the same thing that Jim Harbaugh says is true. He has all of those things that you want. You know, from a physical talent standpoint, he's got the arms, good enough athlete, can make plays down the field. And he's in a really good situation in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell and Aaron Jones and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson. I think that he's more talented than Sam Darnold was. From a worry standpoint, you know, he changed the culture at a program that was kind of dead in the water after 2020. He became a starter, lost one game as a starter, and it was in a college football playoff over two seasons. So I wouldn't say, like, worried the Vikings aren't going to win a Super Bowl this season or anything like that. I do think there will be some growing pains. But, you know, when you look at those charts down the road, when everybody goes like, oh, who's the best quarterback in the NFC North and everything like that, this isn't even a knock on Jordan Love, and I don't think this is something that maybe – certainly will happen, but if he's listed as fourth one day as the quarterback in the division, that's not a surprise. And it's not just because Jordan's not good enough. It's just because those three guys potentially could be better in front of him, with obviously Caleb Williams and Jared Goff. The Lions have only won over the last 2 years with him under center as well. So it is not the days of, you know, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and then, you know, the three blind mice and the other three quarterback positions in the NFC North. There's some legitimate competition and some firepower at that position, and JJ certainly brings an opportunity to raise the ceiling of this division as well.
One of the biggest mystery boxes in the NFL in totality is JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams in this NFC North, and what they become. If they become big time quarterbacks, that changes the NFC and certainly the NFC North in a major way. If either of them or both are not living up to expectations or become quote unquote busts, both of those franchises are going to be in much more dire situations and probably have to rebuild that thing from scratch again. So it's going to be very interesting to see just where those two end up over the course of the next few seasons. Last but not least, Jacob, I'll let you have a fun one here. I know you're a Mavs fan as well. They get the number one pick in the draft after trading away Luka Doncic. You obviously have the opportunity to take Cooper Flagg. Put your GM hat on for a moment, although I know in the GM in Mavs, you can never quite know what he's going to do next with Nico there. But if you're the GM, number one pick, you taking Cooper Flagg, or are you trying to trade that thing for an established player? Maybe for a player in Milwaukee currently?
The player in Milwaukee is the only one I would have a conversation about if it were me. That's, to me, I think it's a get out of jail free card, which is unfortunate because you have some talking heads that are, I think it's engagement baiting, where they're doing the whole, oh, Nico Harrison, are you guys still yelling at him now? Like, yeah, the answer is yes. Like, getting incredibly lucky with the lottery that was, I don't know, maybe it was influenced or something like that. I don't know if I believe that or not, but it's too coincidental for me on something like that. I don't think it's unfortunate because, in my opinion, Nico Harrison doesn't deserve that benefit of the doubt, and now he's going to get it. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, Cooper Flagg is a very exciting player. And, you know, when we talked way back, I think you and I talked in February, like right after the trade happened. And I was like, yeah, I'm looking at like, you know, 20, 30 years of darkness, and that's kind of what they deserve. This is kind of a way out of that. So I'm interested to see how they rebuild around him. Now, if the Bucks want to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo to Dallas, then certainly that's a conversation that can be had. I don't think the Bucks want to do that. I don't think the Mavericks will do that.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I think Giannis, my on-the-record prediction for him is going to stay in Milwaukee. And if I were the Bucks, you didn't ask me this, but if I were the Bucks, I don't care how dark it looks around him or whatever. In the NBA, a superstar is the most valuable commodity you can get. Giannis is a top five player in the NBA. I am hanging on to that dude until the wheels absolutely fall off.
It's a fair take on that, and you know, excited to see what Cooper Flagg can do as well. I think Cooper Flagg ends up a Mav. I do think Giannis stays a Buck as well, so I'm right there with you on both of those predictions. Jacob, incredible stuff as always. Where can we find all of your awesome work, and what do you got coming out this week?
Yeah, social media, at Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. I'm starting to do some training camp previews and put that stuff together. And the mini camp next week, looking at storylines, who's there and who's not. I think that's the biggest thing to look at for next week for mandatory minicamp. Is Alexander there? Is Elgton Jenkins there? Is there somebody else who surprisingly doesn't show up? Does Aaron Rodgers show up? Okay, maybe not that one, but somebody else. You know, who knows? I think that's the biggest thing to keep an eye on here as we get into mandatory minicamp next week.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I think that is going to be the big storyline. Jacob, you are incredible. I always appreciate you a ton. Follow him at Jacob Westendorf. We'll talk to you again soon. You have a great rest of your week, my friend.
Thanks, Andy. You too.
You bet. That is Jacob Westendorf. Again, make sure you're checking out all of his stuff over on Packers on SI. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We'll be right back right after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.